Today is the 4th of December, 2016. You know, the Bible has much to say about pride. Pride can take very many forms. And, you know, it originates from an evil heart. Satan said, "I will arise and be as God." He was very proudful. And there seems to be a correlation between pride and having a lust for power. Pride is referred to 42 times in the Bible. And we see Hezekiah realized that he had a tendency for pride. 2 Chronicles 32:26, he says, "Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." You know, Job 41:34, "He beholdeth all high things. He is king over all the children of pride." You know, sometimes pride can take the form of thinking we're not. In other words, self-righteousness. In other words, this message this morning about pride is directed to me as well as everyone else, because we all have tendencies toward it, and we are all steeped in self-justification, thinking we are on the right road and everybody else is on the wrong road. That is pride. Psalm 10:2 says, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined." Pride takes place in the imaginations of the heart. We think we're doing God's service. We think we're doing the good things. But pride is still there. Well, God has a protection over his people against the pride reprobates. He says in Psalm 31:20, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." You know, there's a lot of contention, there's a lot of contriving, and there's a lot of strife in the world. But we, as God's people, go to our shepherd to protect us from these strivings and contentions. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me." There also seems to be an association between pride and cursing and lying. You know, we see that when Hillary was brought down the night of her defeat, she was so proudful and haughty, and she began to curse and attack those very ones that were trying to help her in her own campaign. You know. 59:12 says, "For the sin of the mouth and the words of their lips, let them ever be taken in their pride, and for cursing and the lying which they speak. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment." You know, we all have this tendency towards self. That's why all of this emphasis today is on selfies. Selfies. Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I'm reading these from Proverbs. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, we look at ourselves, and we can probably see more evidence of pride than in anyone else, can't we? We want to be heard. We want to be right. We want to be preeminent. You know, show of the flesh and all of that. Well, Isaiah spoke a lot about this issue of pride. He said in the 16th chapter, "We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath. But he lies, his lies shall not be so." Speaking of Ephraim in Isaiah 9, Isaiah says, "And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say, in the pride and stoutness of heart." You know, we should pray to the God, to the Lord, to Christ, that He would help us to remove our pride. And, you know, sometimes that prayer will be evidenced by the good Lord humbling us and bringing us into humble places. He says in the 25th chapter of Isaiah, the 11th verse, "And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoil of their hands." He talks about the crown of pride in Isaiah 28. "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that overcome with wine." The crown of pride with the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. Have you ever seen someone who is imbibing in alcohol and it seems as though they become, they say alcohol, you know, lowers your inhibitions and so on. But it also gives people a false assurance, doesn't it? "Thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem." Jeremiah addresses this issue as well. You know, he says, "The terribleness hath deceived thee in the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. You know, this is a problem with the doctrine of free will. It is ingrained in it, is this sense of pride, isn't it? I have done all these things. Look what I have done. No, I surrender all. You know, I will arise and go to Jesus. You know, there is no hope outside of Christ coming to us. There's no hope outside of being born again by the Spirit of God. There's no hope aside from being chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. There's no hope other than our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. We can't write our own names in the Book of Life. A lot of people have the idea that this free will allows them to be the instrument of writing their own book in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says in Ezekiel, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." You know, I had someone tell me one time, I was bringing up how that it was important to be cognizant of those who are needy around us. And this person said, "Where are the poor? Where are they? Where are they?" You know, that's interesting. He says, Ezekiel, "Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down from the tower of Sinai, shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God." Well, Nebuchadnezzar was full of pride, wasn't he? He was haughty, thinking he had done all these things, this kingdom that he was overseeing. And Daniel, he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose work are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." He found that out. He was humble. He crawled around like a animal. And his nails became like claws. His kingdom was stripped from him. And he was brought to realize his own pride. When his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. You know, a lot of those in the church are very proudful. They have an air about them. It's almost like I've done another message on the Holy Club. You know, the Arminians, you know, they have their popes, don't they? The Calvinists have their popes. And even those in the old school Baptist and primitive Baptist have their popes. They'll call them mentors, they'll call them whatever, but they exalt these people, and it becomes an element of pride, doesn't it? Hosea says, "The pride of Israel doth testify to his face, therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. The pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Obadiah addressed the issue of pride. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? You know, we cannot take another breath without the mercy and grace of God. As God's people, we cannot sustain ourselves. Our sustenance is Christ. He is our rock. In him we live and move and have our being. We need to remind ourselves of this. You know, we kind of, you know, get in our little comfort zones and we start thinking that we have accomplished something in and of ourselves. If we have accomplished anything, whether in the flesh or in the spirit, you know, it's only because God has allowed us to do that. It has nothing to do with ourselves. He says in Zephaniah, this shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. In that day thou shalt not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. You know, he talked about Ashdod being a bastard. He says in 9:6 of Zechariah, and a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. You know, we talk about the pride of Assyria, and he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves and the sea, and all the deeps of the rivers shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. We're told in Mark 7:22, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. They're all lumped together, aren't they? They're all lumped together. Well, you know, we have been warned that those that are lifted up with pride fall in the condemnation of the devil, 1 Timothy 3:6. 1 John 2:16 tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see that pride emanates from Satan himself. Pride also comes from the imaginations of the heart. As a man thinketh, so is he. So this morning, let us think on these things, and let us ask God to remove the prideful ways of our heart, and that he would bring us to be wholly reliant upon him and his mercy and his grace, and that we would not be lifted up in the flesh, that we would crucify the flesh. Only God can help us do that. And that we would turn back to the one who gave us life. And God is the only one that can turn our hearts. We cannot turn ourselves. And we realize that if we are his, he will bring down our haughtiness and grant unto us the joy of his salvation. And, you know, sometimes we look at ourselves and our tendencies towards pride, and we get discouraged because we see the utter despicableness of ourselves, don't we? And sometimes we may get discouraged in that, but underneath God's people are His everlasting arms. Our hope, our faith, our trust, our confidence, our assurance rest in our Savior. God be with you today. May this cause us to cry out to Christ for help in this area. God be with you today.